we've all been there at times. Lord may have spoke to you in a service. Get up and walk around the auditorium. Lord, is that me? Or is that you? And kind of don't want to make a spectacle of yourself, but yet it's the Lord we need to obey. Whatever He's telling you to do, it may seem silly to you. That's no big deal. The Lord's got it covered. There's a reason for it. And He's going to work something for His glory, His good. But there's some discipline involved when we want to obey the Lord. And it shows our love and our commitment to Him. And what He asked me to do is nothing compared to what He did for me. I'm not whining or complaining in any way. But I'm just saying, sometimes it's not always easy to do what He wants us to do, but we know we must, and it's for our own good. And He's got our benefit in mind when He asks us to do something. He just wants to use us, and it's going to be for our good more than His. And it reminded me of Brother Hall's message a few years back, preached Who Holds the Reins? And he talked about how Christians are like the horse. Puts the horse in the round pen, and first they break him to the lead, and then they put a blanket on his back, and then the saddle, and then eventually the rider. And he wants to rebel, he wants to fight against it. Don't know what's going on, but the more they work with him, finally he gets where they want him to be. And that's what Christian life, the walk is. You know, we don't always understand. There's a learning process. As we sometimes flub up, sometimes, of course, all right, we'll try again. He keeps working with us. But also the Hebrew people, Moses brought them out into the wilderness, and they were wandering through the wilderness, round and around the same mountain for 40 years. And they weren't willing to listen to the Lord, and they complained and cried. And Lord finally got tired of it and said, all right, all of you over 20 years old, you won't get to go into the promised land. And the ones below that, they would, if they all died out. And anyway, with the two exceptions, of course, was Joshua and Caleb, who said they had another spirit. And they know how they got to go into the promised land. But even Moses himself didn't get to go in because of disobedience. One time, the Lord told him to strike the rock once, and he struck it twice. He didn't realize, I guess, the meaning behind it. It was talking about the future where Christ would be crucified, and He would be that rock. The Lord didn't want it to happen twice. It was only once, but because of this disobedience, he didn't get to go into the promised land. And we're in the Lord's army, and I've heard Brother Pepper preach before, you know, about military. There's training, it's not always easy, but the boot camp, you know. Brother Jonathan went through training in Sneros. He was there in the Special Forces. I haven't heard much about him lately. Has anyone heard how he's doing? He had to do a lot of things that weren't very pleasant, you know, wasn't too convenient, wasn't easy, and it takes a special person to be able to endure what he's gone through, and I don't think I could do it. But anyway, that's what it's like in the Lord's army. There's times He takes us through some hard times, and He's got a reason for it, and it makes us stronger as we obey and we listen. And in the military, they got a chain of command. And if you've been through that training, you know to listen to those in leadership above you. It's not a debate when a situation comes up. Let's stop. Let's take a vote on this, you know. See how it comes out. See if we want to go this way or that way, you know. You better listen to the commander. And we ain't got time for all that nonsense because it could cost you your life. So the same with the Lord's people. Sometimes, you know, there's situations we better be listening to the Lord. If not, it could be a great catastrophe awaiting us. In the Old Testament, Sister Lindy didn't know what I had in my notes, but talked about the tabernacle, how the Lord had him to move different times. You know, they just stopped for a certain period of time, maybe varying times. The Lord say, all right, it's time to move. And the Lord cloud would leave, or the fire by night, and they packed up, they would move. And they would follow that. That was teaching them obedience and listening to the Lord, let him be in command, not themselves. And they came to the Red Sea, and the enemy was following them. They had nowhere else to go but forward, and they all started panicking. Why'd you bring us out here to kill us, you know? And they didn't know what the Lord was fixing to do. And the Lord told Moses to put his rod out, and the waters parted, and he said, go through the sea, you know. You got the enemy behind you, and open sea before you, and you know, that's something they'd never experienced before. It took some faith, you know, to listen to the Lord, but it was for their benefit. They went on through, and the glory cloud came between them and the enemy army that was coming after them in Pharaoh's army. And it continued that way for quite a while. It wasn't a 5-minute thing, you know. It's all night long they passed through, and all that wind blowing, you think, is it going to hold up, you know? The wind going to die down and come crashing in or not? But, you know, they listened to the Lord. They went through, and the Lord had everything in control, even though it looked like a disaster. But God worked it all out for their good, his glory. And he did away with the army that was pursuing them. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and repeatedly he wouldn't let God's people go. Finally, he let them go, and then they reneged once again, went chasing after him, but it cost him his life. And he toyed with the Lord too long. He didn't obey and listen to the Lord. We talked about our missionaries. One coming Sunday, I hadn't seen him quite a while. I've met him once before. And but missionaries are just everyday people like you and I. The Lord's called them, a special word for them. And they were willing to listen to the Lord. They obeyed, they went. They left their family, their land, everything they knew, and they went out and obeyed. But they get in a foreign place like that, and it's completely different. They're learning a lot from the Lord, you know, at that time. But we can help them by holding them up in prayer, by supporting them financially. You know, we got our part. They were willing to obey. We need to obey the Lord also. And knowing there's a team and pull with them, you know. Old times, years ago, the three musketeers, one for all for one. That's the way God's people are. We need to be all together, fighting for the same goal, same purpose. We got the same enemy. We all have a common goal to make it to the other side and take as many as we can with us. In sports, sometimes the teams, they have one stands out among the rest of the crowd, you know. In high school, they called them showboats or glory hogs. You know, they wanted to be in the limelight all the time and, you know, do everything. And it's not that way with the Lord, you know. He's got a purpose for each and every one of us. We all got our place, but we're all pulling together and not trying to take all the glory and do everything by ourselves. We are to pull together, one with another. And the Lord, or in sports, you know, the coach, he's got drills they run and plays they got to learn. And, you know, he's done some scouting. He knows what the opponent's going to do. He knows some of their plays, and he's got to counter that. Well, our Lord, knows the enemy. He knows what makes him tick. Satan comes against us, our enemy, but he not only knows about him, he's the one that created him. He knows him that well. So it'd be to our best advantage to listen to the Lord, because he knows exactly how he's going to act, what we need to do to overcome that enemy. So he knows all things, past, present, future. Like I said, he's got our best interests in mind. And we are to be led by the Spirit. Just like the disciples, the Lord told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. He knew they would need that. In Acts 1 and 4, assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So the Lord's telling them to wait there. And it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And the Lord said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the utmost part of the earth. So in verse 7 it's there, 6, they're asking the Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? We don't need to know the whole plan, what God's going to do. He's got things in control. We just need to do our part and listen to him as he tells us what he wants us to do at that time. And we'll have something later when we obey and do that, and we'll go on to something greater. But Acts 5 and 32, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. And if you're hungry for the Holy Ghost, you haven't been filled yet. You need it. You'll enjoy it when you get it. You won't be sorry. And there's nothing like it. Salvation was great. Holy Spirit is just like salvation. You're just another step closer to the Lord. Something we all need. But it's just, you're not going to get it without obedience. He may tell you to do something that sounds completely crazy to you. You might fight it for a while, but when you get hungry enough, you decide, all right, Lord, I'm going to do it. Then he'll feel you. It's just a matter of submitting to him, letting him have his way, letting him have control. And it says that tongue is the most unruly member of our body. Bring it under submission to the Lord. If he can do that, then he can get the rest of it under control also. In Acts 1 and 11, it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So the Lord is coming back. We recently talked a lot about that in men's Bible study and the workshop, whatever you want to call it. But talking about his return, we do have to answer to him. If we're not obeying him, we're still going to answer to him, whether we like it or not. We're not going to like what he's got to say to us. It's an accountability, each and every one of us. We'll stand before the Lord and answer for our own self, not for someone else. And verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field was called in the proper tongue, Acronema, that is to say, the field of blood. So his disobedience had a reward to it. It cost him his life and brought shame to him. And, you know, when we disobey God, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, we just want to do what the Lord tells us to do. In Acts 1 and 18, well, that's where I just got from. But I think back, the pastors testified about starting this church. I'm in this church, didn't want to do it. And, I can understand the situation, but finally he says, yes, Lord, I'll do it. In Acts 5 and 19, but the angel of the Lord by What fruit had ye in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, ye become servants to God. Ye have the fruit unto holiness, and in everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we had a change of the one we were serving, a new master. We weren't serving ourselves in sin, but we turned to the Lord when we get saved, and we are going to have fruit that we're going to enjoy instead of the one that the sinner is going to have to wait on that. It says we have eternal life. It's a gift from God. We can't do anything to earn it. No goodness, anything, obedience even, it's not going to give us eternal life. It's just because He was willing to die in our place and give us that opportunity to receive it, that gift from God. But it says wages of sin is death. We do earn that. We deserve it because of our life without Jesus, when we are walking contrary to Him and sinning. But says the wages of sin is death. That's what we don't want. And the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to pursue the Lord and stay in His family and finish my course and make it all the way home. And I want to see all of us here together on the other side. And sin has two present results, shame, emptiness, and in the future, eternal death and hell. But obedience is holiness and everlasting life. Out of love. We can look at Genesis 12:4. We see Abraham, how the Lord called him out of his land to go out. He didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed the Lord and he left. Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And so when we as Christians, we come into God's family, you know, we are leaving that old life behind. It's like we are leaving what we knew in the past. And we are seeking a better country, a heavenly country. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been minded of the country from which they would come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So he was willing to leave it all behind and obey the Lord, and went out not knowing how it was all going to work out, but God blessed him abundantly because of his obedience. Genesis 26:4. He used to drive the kids crazy in Bible study. I'd drop one in the Bible, the other back and forth. They'd get aggravated because they didn't keep it all in line. That's just a bad habit, I got. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So once again, we can see the rewards of obedience, those blessings that come in penalties for those who do not obey. It's like when we're raising our kids, you know, we reward them for doing good and we chastise them for doing wrong. And it's no different with our Heavenly Father with us. He wants us to grow up to be the way He wants us and not those spoiled brats. In John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So we can tell whether or not we love the Lord by whether or not we're doing what He said. In verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judas said to him, not his Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So we can gauge kind of where we're at, whether we're listening to God or not. In John 14:21, that's what we just read. Philippians 4:9. Things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So there is a condition. If we want God's peace to be with us, if we're doing what He told us to do, we have that nearness, that fellowship with Him. And Matthew 12:47. Then one said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said to him, that told him, who is my mother and who is my brother? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. We're part of His family when we're obedient. Him. 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And when we're obeying Him and living to please Him, He's going to answer our prayers. And our prayers are going to line up with what He wants to. Got that fellowship going on. In Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into through the gate into that city. So that is one of the main goals of the Christian, is to make it to the other side, partake of that tree of life, and live forever. And, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden there when they disobeyed God. The Lord didn't want them to stand and continually stay in that state. But He once again gives us opportunity to partake of that tree when we are in right standing with Him and make things right. Because I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Right before it, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. So I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter in. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. But the choice is ours. So we're going to obey or we're going to disobey. And